Okay, if we can move on to Good Good Father, I will lead this one, but Abby and Caleb, can you guys lead Greater You Lord for me? Just don't forget not to sing Aotearoa. Good.
When I lived in America, I used to just stop singing when the words got too offensive.
Yeah, there you go.
This is my country.
Because I'm proud to be an American. That's it. All right, good, good father.
That's loud.
And Steve, would you like me to pray for you?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for this man, our local man, part of this church. I pray for your peace upon him. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work through him and touch our hearts. May we hear what God wants to say through him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I'll just move this microphone before I either stand on it or trip it over it. Neither of which would be a good thing, I don't think. I'd have a problem if I tripped over it. Someone in the sound team would probably have a problem if I stood on it. Right, can I just... Yes, I can. Awesome. So, thanks for the introduction. I did look around at one point and wonder who you were introducing when you started. It was like, I got the first bit, yeah, that sounds... And then you went, I was like, oh, maybe he's not. I appreciate it. As Frank said, a lot of years in this church. I have a heart for this place. So let's have a little think this morning. So... quite a few years ago, I went to this place, the Bible College of New Zealand, as it was called then, now called Laidlaw College. It's in West Auckland. And I went there intending to spend 3 years studying the Bible. I was an enthusiastic Christian, and I was keen to grow and keen to know more about the Bible, and so this passionate, keen young man with hair down here somewhere and a beard, my pastor at the time said, "You look more prophetic every time I see you." And I said, "Did you say pathetic?" I went to the Bible College of New Zealand and very quickly came to understand that this college was all about mission, which was great. And then I discovered that they defined mission in one way particularly. When they said mission, what they meant was overseas cross-cultural mission. That was the way they defined it. Now, they never defined it like that. They never said that. But I very quickly grew in the understanding that that was what they meant. And by the end of the first semester, I was getting a little disgruntled with this, hearing about mission all the time and hearing from all these missionaries, it's all overseas stuff. And I was like, I should be enthusiastic about this stuff, right? Excuse my voice. I'm struggling with the remnants of a cold and I've been sucking on throat lozenges all morning, so hopefully my voice will hang in there. But I got more and more disgruntled about this. And then through the second semester, that disgruntledness changed. And it changed into a very clear, strong sense of call from God to Aotearoa. You see, God called me to be here. Some of us are here because we were born here, and this is our homeland. I'm one of those as well, of course. Some of us are here because we've chosen to adopt Aotearoa as our homeland. And some of us are here on top of that specifically because we're called here Where's Ben? Is he here this morning? No, that's just as well, because I had a listen to what he had to say last week, and by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, Ben, you've just preached my sermon. So I had to do something about that, obviously. But I have a very strong sense of call to Aotearoa. And so I came to Wellington to pastor Brooklyn Baptist Church, and very quickly ended up being invited to join the council for the what was then the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. And during my time on that august body, we changed the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society to Transcend, and we did a whole bunch of other stuff. And I spent approximately 5 years on the Transcend Mission Council, and I became a passionate advocate for overseas cross-cultural mission, which sounds a bit strange for someone who's called to Aotearoa. Why am I talking about mission if I'm called here? So the answer to that, I think, lies in the message. Let's begin with the scriptures. So John 20, 19 and 22. I'm actually going to read it off that screen because I must be getting old, my eyesight's not good enough for that one. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So, I want you to think for a minute with me about what that must have been like. You've got the disciples, they're all gathered in this room, maybe perhaps 50 of them, and they're in this room together, and they've got the door locked because they're quite afraid that the Jewish authorities are going to arrest them and do to them what they'd just done to Jesus, because they'd just seen their Lord, their teacher, their leader crucified. He had been murdered in one of the most horrible ways possible. And they'd seen him die, and they'd seen him taken down off that cross and buried in a tomb which they'd seen sealed up good and tight. And they're in this room together. And on top of all that, a couple of their members have talked about having seen Jesus, the risen Jesus. And it's like, "He's dead. I saw him. They took him off the cross. They stuck him in the tomb. He's dead." You know? And a couple of the women, you know, they saw him. And a couple of those walking off to Emmaus, they saw him. They said he was alive, and then he disappeared. And no. People don't come back from the dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. And so they're gathered in this room with all of this going on. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Jesus appears in their midst. I wonder how we might react. I suspect my first reaction would probably be one of terror. This person, locked doors, nowhere to get in there, this person who I am absolutely certain is dead, is standing there in front of me. That's got to be the most scary thing I can imagine. And then Jesus does something really interesting. He says, "Have a look at my hands," probably his wrists, actually, to be really honest, with crucifixion, "but have a look, see, they're still here, they haven't healed, they're still there, look at the hole in my side. You know, it's like, touch me. See, actually, I'm real. I'm not a ghost. I'm not some random spirit. I am Jesus, your risen Lord. And he makes that effort to cross that barrier and connect with them. Oh, excuse me. And then in the midst of that, the disciples kind of in fear and wonder. Jesus says to them something that's not really important. Of course he doesn't. He's got this opportunity, one of very few, this opportunity to speak to his followers before he returns fully to the Father, and they don't interact with him on this level anymore. And so he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. This is the message from Jesus to his Father, followers. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. It does not say, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending anybody who feels really called. It does not say, so I am sending those people who feel equipped and ready. It does not say, so I am sending Katie Barsley, and so I am sending Jackie and Andrew, and let the rest of us off the hook. It doesn't say that. You see, I think over time, we've developed this sense of a two-tier system when it comes to following Jesus. Tier one is most of us, the ordinary us, who sit here on a Sunday morning and we take part in our Christian activities and we worship and maybe we belong to a home group and we do all this stuff and we're committed and we're doing our best to follow Jesus and live our lives for Jesus. And we're kind of tier one. And then tier two is Katie and Doug and Claire and Andrew and Jackie and kind of missionaries. They're up there a bit. You know, they're kind of tier two, you know, they're a bit, you know, Jesus didn't set up a two-tier church, and he didn't set up a two-tier system for his followers. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That's all of you. You see, missionaries are not super Christians. Now, I think Katie is absolutely amazing. Don't get me wrong. I think she is absolutely amazing. Doing what she's doing, incredible. But she's not a, sorry, Katie. She's not a super Christian. She's not super spiritual. She's not, you know, I watched her grow up. Actually, I taught her, for goodness sake. I've seen what she's like. These people, they're not super Christians. They're not greater than the rest of us. They're not these amazing, wonderful, closer to God kind of people. As amazing as I think Katie is, she's an ordinary young woman who deals with her own day-to-day issues and has the same kinds of hopes and dreams and desires, I imagine, that most of the rest of us has. It's just, she's doing some extraordinary things. And I guess I know Katie well enough to know she's doing those extraordinary things actually not in her own strength. Well, not completely. She's relying on God. When I first came to having this sense of call to Aotearoa, I left Beast Bible College in New Zealand and I went to Carey College. And I did that bargaining thing with God. You know how you do that? It's just like, oh, well, I'll do this, and then you do your bit, but I'm not doing that. And one of the things that I was not going to do, I was determined. It's like, God, all right, if you really want me to do this and you really want me to go into ministry, that's fine. I'll do some kind of associate role where I don't have to preach because I don't want to be a preacher. Scares the living daylights out of me. That's how I began my ministry. I did it in God's strength, not mine. Because the idea of standing in front of a group like this and delivering a sermon, when I began my training and when I began my ministry, the idea of doing this, it scared the living daylights out of me. I do it with a touch more confidence these days, I think, than I used to. But, you know, we do it not in our own strength. And missionaries are not super Christians. There's not two tiers. We are all one. So in John's Gospel, 38 times Jesus talks about being sent by the Father. 38 times he talks and says that the Father has sent him. And I thought and I wondered about this a little bit, because I don't think he says any other thing as often as he says this. And I wondered about it. And then it occurred to me, of course, if he's sent by the Father, he doesn't do what he's doing in his own authority. It's not his own message that he's bringing. It's the Father's message. His message carries a level of credibility and authority because it's not his own. It's the message that the Father has sent him to bring to the people that he's created. And because it's the Father's message, there's a sense of credibility and authority about it. But being a bit of a skeptic at heart, my response to that is, well, he says. It's all right for him to say, sent by the Father. Give his message credibility and authority. But how do we know? How do we know, in fact, that what he's telling us is true? Now, this is a quote, and I have no idea where it came from, but it's one that always sticks with me. The resurrection is God's yes to the life, work, and message of Jesus of Nazareth. That gives his message credibility and authority. God was so pleased with what he did and the message that he brought that he raised him from the dead. That is where the message of Jesus gets its credibility and its authority, because God raised him from the dead. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. 38 times Jesus says that the Father has sent me. One of the very last things he says to his followers, so I am sending you. That's every one of you. That's not so I am sending this person and that person and the other person, and the rest of you get to stay at home and sit on your nice, comfortable little chairs and just give some money or whatever. It's a everybody, you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Which means, let's have a look at Matthew 28, because John chapter 20 is not really a go-to chapter when it comes to talking about missions. You won't find a lot of people who will come to talk to you about mission who are going to start with John 20 and 21. I can't figure out why, but they don't. And the go-to chapters or places tend to be these, and Matthew 28 is one of those. And you're probably all well familiar with this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Matthew 28, called the Great Commission, and I'm sure you're all well familiar with that passage. And then there's this passage which my friend, one of our resident missionaries, actually, did you realize that we have a resident missionary here? Ben and Jen. They are resident missionaries. As Ben said last week, they have gone to the ends of the earth because we're the ends of the earth for them. And I thought about that for a little bit, and then I thought, I wonder then if actually if Trish and I can get away with getting the Global Focus team to send us to the UK because it's the ends of the earth. You know, we could go and base ourselves in London, and I figure we might not get away with that, actually. But this is the passage that Ben chose to speak from, my favourite passage when it comes to mission. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to refer to that again shortly. One of the most well-known passages when it comes to mission. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. Jesus didn't set some people apart for mission. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be a missionary. And for me, there is that clear sense of call to Aotearoa. Or what in the passage that Ben looked at last week would be the Jerusalem, my immediate area, the place I live, Te Awakarangi. And short of a call to somewhere else, you are all meant to be missionaries here in Te Awakarangi. Because to be a Christian is to be a missionary. And so let's explore for a second what this mission thing means. Because if we're all meant to be missionaries, and that's what the scripture said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sent. We're all to be missionaries. So let's have a little look at what we mean by this word, because I want to develop a broader understanding than I got when I was at the Bible College of New Zealand, because that I felt was a very narrow understanding of missionary. So there are three places of mission. Ben talked about this. There is Jerusalem. That is your immediate area. For us, Te Awakarangi, perhaps even the wider Aotearoa, at your area, your local place where you belong. Then there is, oh, I'll come back to that. Then there is the wider thing, that's Judea and Samaria. For us, probably looking at the Pacific, and maybe that great heathen land which needs God so much over there called Australia. You know, those areas. And then there's the ends of the earth. Still coming back to that call to the UK, people. No, I've got my call here. I made that clear. So three places of mission. There are three types of mission in the same sense. Three types of mission. There is long-term overseas cross-cultural mission. The kind of thing where you go to a place or a people or a ministry for an undetermined period, probably years. This is what Katie is doing. She's gone to this place for an undetermined period to do what it is that God wants her to do in this place. And I don't know whether Katie's thought about it, but I have the sense that she's just there. And maybe she'll come back one day, and maybe she won't. I don't know. Called here. This is what Doug and Claire did. How long have they been in Thailand now? I don't know. I can't count. You know, they've had a family over there, and they're bringing them up. They are there. Long-term cross-cultural mission. And then there is short-term mission. Excuse me. My throat's getting a bit sore. Short-term mission. This is the, I'm off into a specific situation for a short period of time, usually somewhere up to perhaps a year. Often these things are like 3 months or maybe 6. And generally, this kind of short-term mission has a purpose. So I'm going to worked with a team from Habitat for Humanity, and we're going to build a school, or we're going to build a house for a family, or we're going to, you know, or I'm going to go to this place and work with this team who are, you know, who are vaccinating all their children against measles or whatever it is. You know, there's this purpose or this place for this short-term mission. Sorry, Katie, you again. This is what Katie did some years ago. She had a purpose. She went to where she's ended up now, but she went there for a short-term purpose, which was to work out her placement requirements for her social work degree. Now, my daughter Johanna, she did her final placement just down the road in pediatrics at Hutt Hospital. Katie went all the way to Thailand. But it was a short-term thing. It was for a purpose, for a short period of time, and then you return back to your home church and pick up your life, hopefully somewhat changed by the experience of what you've been through, and hopefully with a greater understanding and a greater sense of mission and what it means and its part in the world. Short-term mission. This is a really important aspect of mission. Short-term mission can lead to people coming home changed, different, getting motivated about mission and working in the local church to raise the profile of mission. Or short-term mission can lead to coming back and getting enthusiastic and excited and doing what they need to do to go back for long-term mission, like Katie did. Short-term over there, came back here, did what she needed to do, headed off for a longer term. So short-term mission has an important place in mission. And then there is local mission. That's where you and I come in. If we're all called to be missionaries, local mission is our responsibility. If we have died to the world and been raised with Christ, new, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to share the love and the message of Christ with a lost and hurting community in which we find ourselves living. Local mission. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. I have a clear call to Aotearoa, even after all these years. That was about 27 years ago, I guess. And I still have that clear sense of call to be here in Aotearoa. And for the rest of you, you are sent. Jesus sent you to be missionaries right where you are until such time as he either calls you home or sends you somewhere else. We are saved by grace through faith. Jesus did all that on the cross. But he didn't save us to sit on our butt, excuse me, but that's the reality. He didn't save us so that we could sit around here in our nice, comfortable little club and have our nice, comfortable little meetings. And he saved us for a purpose. And that purpose was to be his hands and his feet in this world. He saved us to be him to our lost and hurting world. To be missionaries to our community. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. Where and how will you do your mission work? That's between you and God. It's not will you do mission work, it's just where will you do it and how will you do it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we stand or we sit in wonder and in awe of what you did for us on the cross. A love so amazing, so deep and so rich that you would walk gladly to the cross and die for each and every one of us. But before you went, you sent us. Help us to live the sentness of your message to us for your glory. Amen.